This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. It reads, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Let us pray. God, our Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer, we ask right now in a special way that you speak to us, we your servants, that we may hear, and not just hear, that we may follow, we may do, we may obey, and be everything you called us to be. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. We thank you, we love you, we adore you. Have your way, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our overall theme for our whole series of messages is entitled, We Represent Christ. That might just be our theme for the year, but we represent Christ. That's our overall theme for the series of messages. Today's message is entitled, The King's Message and Ministry. The King's Message and Ministry. How do we get to be who we are? Even though we might complain about what we do not have, we ought to take time to really thank God for what we do have. As African Americans, God has brought us from a mighty long way. However, we still have a mighty long way to go. Many of us are still alive who can remember a segregated South. Many during that time thought that only their race contributed to America, discounting the very history and existence of blacks living in America. We had white-only drinking fountains. Now, you know, many folks say, well, ain't no big deal. We take our own water. But back in the day, that was a really big deal. You couldn't drink from the white fountain. Everything white was right. Everything black was bad. Especially when you had a black and white television. I mean, it was more pronounced then. You know, even though most of the, well, almost all the actors were white, I don't care if you're talking about cowboys and all this sort of stuff, even all the actors were mostly white, the ones who were the good guys wore white, and the bad guys wore black. You know, we had the hanging there for any glimmer of hope. It was a sort of a period of time when if you were black, you kind of wish you were white because of all the privileges that white folk had. It was just that kind of a way. Many churches even kind of turned from using African. There were a lot more First African Baptists back then, but this came First Baptists, getting away from being black and being African. I remember football in black and white. I know I'm really dating myself now, but I can remember football in black and white. And you didn't have a team just because the team was local. You chose a team based on how many black players they had. And they used to line them up. They used to line them up to take a picture of all on the field. They line them up and they show a picture. And then you look and you say, okay, that one has 1, 2, 3 blacks. Okay, and that has no blacks. Okay, that's my team. We want them to win. I mean, serious. We did that. We literally did that. You had to count and see. Because there were those who felt as if blacks could not contribute to America, that we had no real worth. We were not just second, sometimes third and fourth class citizens. But can you imagine the NFL today without any black folk? Well, let me ask you this. Can you imagine the NFL without any black owners of teams? I said, we've come a long way, yet got a long way to go. Even back then, wealth and blackness definitely didn't go together. No, it did not go hand in hand until accidentally we got a glimmer of hope in a television show. A glimmer of hope in a television, I should say in a television song. And I don't think it was intended for us to get any hope from it, but we got hope from where we could. I'm even going to sing the song for you. I'm going to sing the song. Come and let me tell you a story about a man named Jed. The poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. Then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground came a bubbling cool. All that is. May not have intended for us to get a glimmer of hope out of that, but black gold and everything else was bad. Even financially, everybody wanted to be in the black. Yeah. But if you're in the black, what you didn't want to be, now they're going to throw off on other people. You don't want to be in the, that's a shame. But even from that, we realize that we've come a long way, how God has blacked us, how God has blessed us. And all we wanted, and all folk ever wanted, all we wanted was to have an opportunity for equality in America. Amen. If Dr. King's real dream was realized, we would have been moving from civil rights to silver rights. There's still a need for the message taught by Dr. King, and that is the message of reconciliation. Amen. Reconciliation, the theological term, means to bring into harmony. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a pastor. He was a preacher. He was a theologian. And he studied and he knew the word of God. What he gave his life for was living out this ministry of reconciliation. We were living then and still now living in a world that is in need of harmony, in need of togetherness. There's too much disharmony in this world, too much disharmony in this nation, too much disharmony in this state, in this region, in this county, in this city, in our neighborhoods, in our homes, and even within ourselves. Dr. Martin Luther King's mission was the mission that we all as Christians should have. It's the ministry of reconciliation. Bringing harmony, peace, fairness, and equality to the world. Amen. Seeing that we celebrate the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., let's look at the message and ministry of the King who Dr. King followed. How did Dr. King do what he did? And why should we? First point is, it's all because of love. Amen. Second Corinthians, well, if I do that, Dr. King stated, and we have a picture of that, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. Right. Let me say it again. Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. Second Corinthians 5, 14, 15 states, for the love of Christ controls us or compels us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sakes died and was raised. Let me say that again just a little bit slower. That's the whole message right there. For the love of Christ controls us, compels us, motivates us, energizes us. The love of Christ. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because he first loved me. The love of Christ controls us. We've concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sakes died and was raised. Dr. King loved God, and his love for God was evidenced in his love for people. He sacrificed for this nation. And that sacrifice is for the nation who needed to see and hear the King's message. Not his message, but a message from the King of Kings. A message of reconciliation. No matter the sacrifice to him, his family, he realized this sacrifice had to be made so we could have a future. Oh, many sacrifices were made. Oh, I can remember when we think about Dr. King, we think about those of us who lived during that time. I remember my dad, part of the Freedom Riders, and he was on the bus in Florida, and they were going from station to station, Greyhound station to Greyhound station, and folk were so mad, they were throwing things at the bus. They were catching the bus on fire, firebombing the buses and all of this. And while we were watching on television, we didn't know where my dad was because, you know, you didn't have cell phones and all that kind of stuff. We didn't know where he was. But we were just so glad when he came back safely. There were just things that happened and went through life that we could remember. And we could all get so bitter, or we can allow all of those circumstances and situations to make us better. We understand that Dr. King was moving for the salvation of a nation. He was doing his best that those who didn't have the right relationship with God could see what it really meant to have a right relationship with God. He loved God. He loved God's people, and he loved the people, period. He stated about how love makes a difference in all of our lives. So what will motivate you and me to go beyond just taking a day off to honor Dr. King? What will motivate us to do something very helpful in our community, with our families or with individuals? What would, and I'm not talking about just on Monday, not just on tomorrow, but what would help us to transform our minds in such a way to determine how we're called on to get this message of hope and peace and joy and love to folk who may not have it? Well, it's the same thing that motivated Dr. King, the same thing that Scripture tells us today. It ought to be the love of Christ. When we come to know him, we love him because we want his will to be done in our lives. And his will is that none should perish. His will is that everybody will come to know him. His will is that everybody will know who God is and how much God loves us all, how much God loves everybody. That's why Dr. King was getting so upset with the white churches, particularly of that day. And I could say many black churches also, because there were a lot of churches during that time that felt that Dr. King was out of way. He was out of his place. He was bringing undue hardship on us, on black folk. You know, I've even heard folks say, you know, why don't he just stay in his place? Now, I'm not talking about white folks saying that. So the point is, through all of that, what would motivate you to get out of your place to help somebody else? To even help folk that might even tell you, I don't want your help, or I don't need your help. We know that everybody needs Jesus. So what are we doing to make sure that they come to know him? How are we living? How are we walking? How are we talking? How are we compelled to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done? How can I be used of you, God, to make a difference in not just this nation and this world, but to make a difference in my home, to make a difference in my community, to make a difference in my church? How can you use me, Lord, to move forward to do those things? It says the love of Christ compels us. That's what motivates us, love. It can't be by mandate. It can't be because we make you do it or make you say so. No. And then God has gifted us to do various things. And you have to use the gift that God has given you. When you're saved, you have at least one spiritual gift. and you walk in that, and you have the gift for the build, for the purpose of edifying the body of Christ, for building up the body of Christ. Yes, for excellence in kingdom building. What kingdom? God's kingdom, not our kingdom. We're building his kingdom. So God uses us to do that. So the love will help us and motivate us to get that done at a very minimum, that those who don't know Christ will come to know Christ. That's how we do it. Well, how do we do it? I'm glad you asked. Secondly, we do it because we must be all in. We must be all in. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. Minister Curry mentioned this on last week when we talked about how we look for change, but not really change. We look for transformation. He said it adequately well. Anything that change can change back. But anything that transform can go back to what it was. Yeah, once Dr. King had got out of the box and started talking about civil and leading civil disobedience and saying those things that he was saying about how we need to come together and how the nation owed a debt to citizens, he couldn't go back and say, I didn't mean none of that stuff. Leave me alone. I just want to chill. I just want to make a little money and don't be bothered with anything else. Once we're out there, we need to really let the world know whose side we're on. Let them know that we trust God. We have to be all in to get this work done. Don't get mad when folk on your job say to you, oh, I thought you were saved. Don't tell them, I ain't never tell you that. Don't do that. They know you go to church. They know you're First African Baptist. Paying the camera around so everybody can see him in church. I'm just teasing. But the point I'm making is that when we're all in, we're sold out for Christ. One song says, I'm sold out, my mind's made up. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. No turning around. We're saying, listen, no turning back. No turning back. We're sold out because God is in control. Now, if you kind of on the fence, you say, well, I don't want to be labeled as saved. I kind of want to be labeled as I go to church because I'm trying to get that fire insurance. Y'all know that? I want that fire insurance. I ain't trying to do all that. I just want to have the fire insurance. I want to make sure that I don't end up in hell's fire. So I'm going to do enough so I can tell the Lord when he says, I know you not. You say, oh, wait a minute, time out. I went to First African Baptist Church. I joined. I got baptized. No. And I done told y'all, don't do what? Don't call my name. That's right. I go to First African Baptist Church, but Reverend Thurman Neal Timmer, don't call my name. But it's so important that we realize God has so equipped us and so equipped everything that the work has been done already for us to be saved. There's no reason not to be all in for the cause of Christ. He's our protector. He's the lover of our souls. He's the one that will keep you. He's the one that will sustain you. He's the one that makes a way out of no way. He's your bridge over troubled waters. He's the one that will keep you even when nobody else even cares anything about you. It's God who stands and God who lives and God who will rule now, henceforth, and forevermore. It's all about God. And we must be all in. The old has passed. The new has come. Yeah. Can't do it the way I used to. I can't do it half-heartedly. Can't do it not fully committed. In this passage, Paul argues that the death of Jesus brought humanity to a place of harmony with God, where forgiveness can flow. Thank you, God. We are to live in harmony with God, reflecting in ourselves the righteousness of God, which we get from the sacrifice made on our behalf by Jesus. We are a new creation and called to do this great ministry of reconciliation, and we have to be all in. Committed to the one who is totally committed to us. One song says, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I Surrender all. So, lastly, how do we make this real and lasting commitment? All this is from God. Even you say, I'm committing myself, you're not really committing yourself to do stuff you can't do because we really can't do it. You're committing yourself to say, God, I trust you to work through me to get it done, whatever it is. God will work through you to get done what has to get done. Yeah, and it might make you look good, but that's not the real purpose for it. The real purpose is so that others can see that God is not just good, but God is great and greatly to be praised. God will use us only because people know us and know that what we've done, how we've done what we've done, we could not have done it without God. I mean, folk know us. And see, sometimes we limit ourselves based on this is all I think I can do. And then when you begin to move out and do things for God, you realize you could do something that you didn't think you could do. But don't ever get the big head and think you were able to do it because it was you. No, you were able to do it because of God. It was still all God. And God should get the praise, the honor, and the glory. Do you realize why it is that God called preachers to preach and called them to the ministry? It's in Corinthians. It's in Corinthians. First Corinthians. It's in Corinthians. I know you thought that God called me to preach because I was so tall, dark, and handsome. And I was so very intelligent from attending West Georgia and Morehouse School of Religion at the Interdenominational Theological Center. You thought that was why God called me, because I was so smart and so handsome and had a whole bunch of money. You know, God just said, I just need you to go. The scripture is clear. He calls those who are unwise. He calls those who have no account reputation. He called those who are basically ain't no good. And that's because when something good comes from them, you got to say it's God. You got to say it's all God. You got to say it's all God. That's how God moves. And when people are saying, you know, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it. And things like what? Things like what? Hold on. I want you to get, no, don't. I know you think Dr. King, and you think I'm talking about getting you a statue in Washington and get a street named after you. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about things like loving folk who can't stand you. He allowed a whole generation of folk to get water hosed on them, dogs placed on them, put on them. They spat at and spat on and talked about and cussed out, all because of his love for a nation that needed salvation. Oh, I'm not asking you to get spit on. I'm not asking you to get water hosed on you and all this stuff. I'm not even asking you to allow people to say all kinds of things to you, because we got laws in place. King always said, you can't legislate morality, but you can legislate behavior. You know, you might still hate me and want to say what you want to say, but there are certain things you cannot do. But the real crux of the matter, what God wants us to do, is have the love of God in our hearts so much that we will love like he wants us to love and care like he wants us to care, till others will see him in us and begin to transform how they think and how they live. And it just so happened that many folk could see the treatment of those during the civil rights movement and had a heart of compassion to make a difference in the world. Whatever you're going through, however you're going through it, people need to see that heart that you have for God and then know that you love God. It's not about how other people treat you. I'm not saying put yourself in a place to just be abused. I'm just saying put yourself in a place where you can love in spite of. Because if you can love others when they can't stand you, you're the one that win out their case. Yeah. I think I said this sometime last week and somebody brought it back to me when we were talking about them. I said, what people say about you is none of your business. They weren't talking to you. Don't make it your business. Do what you got to do. But if they're talking about you, it must mean you're doing something good. Because you're on their mind. What a mighty God we serve. Paul says, all this, he writes, referring to, Paul says, all this is from God. Referring to how Paul's now love-controlled life, his service of the crucified and risen Christ, his radical insight into his identity, all of this was summed up as a new creation is now from God. These things, conscious results of being reconciled to God, flow from the being of God into our hearts and minds through the world and the word of reconciliation. Please get this. What God does in us is preceded by what God did for us. Through and in Christ, God was in Christ, the Son of God, by whose coming the prophets' promise were fulfilled. The one who, though rich, became poor, the one who was made sin, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. All this is from God. God gave the ministry of reconciliation and committed the message of reconciliation. Let me say it again. God gave the ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation. He gave it to the apostles and he gave it to others that he called for this purpose. Moreover, in response to this ministry, it is God who makes us stand firm in Christ. God who made his light shine in our hearts. In all things, also, all things are from God. The whole movement towards man in his need then is from God. Certainly, God works through human emotions and circumstances of life, as well as by means of human agents. Yet the initiative, the momentum, and the purpose are all from God. The only response we can make is well summed up in the words of the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What a mighty God we serve. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 states, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for your sake, he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Do you understand how much God loves us? How much God loves you? I know sometimes we kind of get it twisted. You know, God must love pastor. God must love the deacons. God must love the trustees. God must love. No. God loves you. God cares about you. God has empowered you to do the work he's called you to do. It's no accident that you're where you are. It's no accident that you've met the people who you've met. It's no accident your past has been what your past is. But God wants to use you right now with what you have. I can't reach people who you can reach. I can't make sense to people, things that you can make sense to some people. You know folk. You're around folk. And God has so strategically placed you to make a difference all around you. There's some folk who look up to you. Let me say it again. There's some folk who look up to you. And they want to know what you think about X, Y, Z. And now in this social media world, oh my goodness. Basically, folk are crying out every day, is there a word from the Lord? And if you're online, the answer should be yes. And I'm going to share you the word from the Lord. And you will get the word from the Lord from the word of God. For every situation in life. You say, well, pastor, I really don't know what to tell these folks. They're so off the chain. I don't know. Every little thing they get in, I don't know what to say, how to say. You know what you can tell them? That he came through 42 generations. You remember the song that said, Jesus is the answer for the world today? It don't matter what the question is. He's the answer. like Jeopardy. Got the answer. The answer, Jesus. I'm done. When I was a little boy, growing up in church, you could always get away. They thought I was the best little pastor child in the world. Because whenever they asked you a question, you just told them Jesus. They thought that. Now what good Christian adult going to tell you that you're wrong? When they say, what happened on the day of Pentecost and all this? Jesus. What happened when did and they crossed and they crossed the track? Jesus. Oh, you're so cute. Oh, that's so cute. Now you can't be a teenager giving that answer, all right? I ain't teenager. All right. But when you got deep with them, when you got real deep with them, you know, I'm talking about like who am I talking about? Like Bethany, younger than Bethany. Yeah, Bethany no better now. Little younger than Bethany. Yeah. About 3 years old maybe. And you really got deep. They say, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. That's real deep. But what I'm saying to us, that out of all the circumstances, situations we go through in life, we need to turn back and realize God does have the answer. And believe that he does. And when we believe that he does, we do things by his word. It may not make sense to us. You might say, oh, that doesn't make sense. That's too simple. I don't see how we could do it that way. But no, what we do is we trust God with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. So if you don't know anything else to tell them, you can tell them what you hear pastors say every Sunday. That Jesus came through 42 generations, went about doing good, out of all the good he did. They talked about him, ridiculed him, called him everything but a child of God. Well, what does that matter? That means sometimes you're going to be ridiculed. That means sometimes you're going to be talked about. Sometimes you're going to be put down. And Matthew 5:11 says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. How should we respond? The Bible says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. How can I be exceedingly glad? Because they did the same thing and worse to Jesus, who is my Lord and Savior, the one who I love and I care about, the one who came and allowed them to put nails in his hands, nails in his feet, with a crown of thorns on his head. And on the cross, he died for all of my sins. On the cross, he died for all of your sins. I said, he died for all of your sins. I said, he died for all of your sins. All your stuff, all my stuff, he died. Hallelujah. But the story doesn't stop there. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday. Stayed there all day Saturday. Stayed there all night Saturday. But early, I said early, on that Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Power over the grave. Victory over death. Oh, what a mighty God. Oh, what a mighty God. He loves us. He cares for us. He has given us a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of harmony, a ministry of peace, a ministry of making a difference that others will come to know him and love him. And then they can treat you like you want to be treated. Ha, King said it best. Love is the only force that can transform an enemy into a friend. I'm telling you, there's a lot of folk need transforming. So there's a lot of folk who need Jesus. If you're here today and you recognize, I need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, I invite you today to say, Lord, I've sinned and come short. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. There's a prayer that we can pray together. And if you're online, if you're in the building and want to accept Christ, you can pray this prayer with me right now. After praying of this prayer, if you're in the building and you're accepting Christ, you can walk down front. We just want to acknowledge who you are. If you're online, make sure you type in there the word saved to the number that you see on the screen. But here's a prayer you can pray to accept Christ right now. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I haven't been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, redeemer, we thank you, we love you, we adore you, magnify your name. Thank you for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hearts have felt. Thank you that we could join together online and in person, that you might get the praise, the honor, and the glory. Thank you for those who've come to not only accept you, but also to become members of First African Baptist Church and your disciples. Bless, guide, direct us, God, in everything we say and do, that you might get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the people of God say amen and praise God. Please be remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.